first of all, thank you very much for coming out, and I'll thank you even more for staying. I'm going to read two pieces, both from a novel I have coming out in July from Subterranean Press called Mortality Bridge. It'll have its own website. There's a teaser page up now, mortalitybridge.com. Perhaps later on in the year we'll have a more mainstream version coming out as well, but it's too early to tell right now. Mortality Bridge is a sort of mashup of myths, of elements that I find common in myths about deals with the devil or harrowings of hell, people going to hell for some reason. Primarily with Mortality Bridge, it's a conflation of the Orpheus myth. Orpheus was a Greek musician who played the lyre. His wife is killed on their wedding day, and he says, to hell with this, and goes down to hell to play for Pluto and Persephone to get his wife's soul back. It's also a combination of that and the Faust legend, Faust being the classic story of the man who sells his soul to the devil in exchange for knowledge, and the Robert Johnson Crossroads myth. That being the legend of the blues player who sells his soul to the devil at the crossroads in exchange for knowledge and power. As well, of course, is obviously the Inferno and things that I think have in, tropes that are in common with these. All you really have to know about the book for this is that this is about a sort of Eric Clapton-ish musician named Nico, who was a junkie, who is consumed with guilt at the death of his brother in a traffic accident, who died while he was really trying to score heroin, while he was trying to sort of do an intervention. He has sold his soul to the devil. He's gotten all of this fame as a rock and blues musician. He has not married the love of his life, thinking, I've got a loophole here, right? But of course, she's taken anyway, and he says, the hell with this, and takes a checker cab to the red line beneath Los Angeles to hell, and his guitar to get his wife's soul back. His brother is named Van, and his wife's name is Gemma. In the book, hell is an infinite plane that's also a cavern. The nice thing about fantasy is you can sort of be contradictory and oxymoronic. We pick up Nico right here. The first section I'm going to read is very short, and it's a soliloquy. I'm a big fan of the soliloquy. In this case, I forget the name of the musical movement. It's not an overture, but it's a sort of, the music pauses and it sort of restates the major themes and melodies of the composition. A reprise. Thank you. Yes, a reprise. This is a point in the narrative where the narrative sort of pauses and almost takes a survey of the major events of the novel. So it's fairly brief. I think the soliloquy is becoming a sort of lost art. So if you'll indulge me just for a few minutes, I'll read you the soliloquy and then read you part of a chapter. We find Nico here on the plane of hell, part of which has become frozen. And he's well along his journey along the plain. And Nico has long since stopped trembling from the cold. He peers ahead and only sees an endless reach of ice mottled with frozen bodies. Perhaps he ought to dig himself a hole or just curl up on the ice just to give himself some warmth and rest. Just for a little while, of course. But he keeps on walking. Gemma's out there somewhere, a glowing feather in a mason jar. So many knights forgot their way and lost themselves in their lifelong search for their elusive grail. Against his throat, his locket burns. Stone wings flap out in the alien dark. Somewhere on the riddled plain, a patient hand scrapes free beneath a granite block. Somewhere on the upper plane, a metal hammer rings against the chisel on a marble eye, and a mad dog anchored to an ancient gate twitches in its manifold sleep. Somewhere drinking light along its black contours, a parked car pings beneath its hood as its massive engine cools. In deserted tunnels beneath a city of angels, a checker cab's headlights probe ahead, like searchlights unshrouding the ocean floor. Somewhere out there on the turning world, lost people who will meet are strangers yet. Somewhere crowded, strangers meet. Somewhere consequential, people fall in love. A woman dies and maroons the man who loves her on the crowded globe alone. Somewhere in history, strong hands clasp and hold. Somewhere myth demands a terrible release. Somewhere a penitent soul will not let go. A plucked guitar string conjures tears. Vapor ghosts from liquid bubbling on a heated spoon. A lyre's chord resounds as riots burn a city down. Siren song, a sing-along for old dogs howls. In rank apartments, needles carved cuneiform on blue-veined road map flesh, a plunger pushed to summon dreams in sepia. Somewhere cold along the Mission District, a cancer-riddled ragman stops and grabs his chest with sudden, vivid memory, some lost love's perfume. His callous fingers numbed by blues he played for her in crappy underpaying bars for 30 years while overpaying, groping, drinking people talked above his naked pain. Somewhere east of downtown, there's a blind man and his half-blind dog waiting for a train that never comes. In Hollywood, dark deals are clenched inside a restaurant closed for many years that caters to a private clientele. In a bar where gazes never meet, a jukebox gulps a coin, and blank eyes become ghosted as everyone and no one hears a steel guitar begin to sob. In a drawer, in a desk, in a secret room, lie 16 yellowed, stapled pages and a signature in blood. Alone in a house on the continent's edge, a broken-hearted father sobs and sinks beneath the burden of his grief. In a silent house in the Hollywood Hills, a body in a bed grows cool. Somewhere on a windswept, frozen plain, a resolute musician falls.